Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, thou sovereign God, come to thy house in this time of sorrow. We would seek thy presence here. Pray indeed for comfort to those who have been bereaved. Lord, be a strength to them at this time, be a help. Lord, as we are found here, Lord, grant us the solemnity of spirit and the grace, Lord, to be still and know that thou art God. So be mindful and merciful towards us each, these that are bereaved of a dear grandmother and mother. Lord, we would remember them and pray for them. Thou would comfort them and help them. So be with us in this service. Lord, forgive all our sins and all our transgressions. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The first hymn on the hymn sheet. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, drives away his fear. Hymn number one. be seated. You will find the two psalms that we're going to read in your leaflet. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we come again unto thee. We seek grace, and we pray in Jesus' name. O Lord Jesus, be here with us this day, on this sad and solemn occasion. Be very mindful, Lord, of the circumstance that we are now here in thy house. Lord, the solemn sense of death, the loss of a loved one. But Lord, we do pray for those especially who are so related to her. Lord, we pray that these words that we have read and the house of God that we're in, Lord, that it may be a sweet season of blessing and thankfulness. That it's bring her to, Lord, to a long life. Lord, and yet now thou hast taken life from her and she is in eternal bliss. Lord, a great mercy to live a long life, a great mercy to be prepared for that day when life, natural life, shall cease. Lord, we read of the words of the Lord Jesus, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Lord, keep this upon our spirit, eternal life, the gift of God. So we pray, Lord, that thou would comfort and support the mourners here. And each of us, Lord, we are the witness, Lord, of the day of death then. Lord, may it be our concern and our desire to be prepared for such a day. Hear our prayers, Lord, because her prayers are finished. And Lord, her praises have begun. We know this, Lord, that she prayed often, prayed for those near and dear to her, prayed for the sanctuary of God. And oh, she was taught of God in these realities of life and death. But Lord, now her sorrows are finished, and those afflictions and distressing times have gone. She left behind a body of affliction. Lord, her immortal soul is with Christ, which is far better. We would be thankful, Lord, that thou hast shortened tribulation's days. We would thank thee too for that hope, Lord, that will stand and will continue. Lord, and we're thankful too for that place which has been prepared for her. Lord, she's known the time of the need of Jesus. And yet we believe she's known those times, Lord, when he's been precious to her. Lord, for all of us, therefore, we pray. It's a reminder of the brevity of life, Lord, to be here this day. So, Lord, remember this sanctuary. Remember the cause of truth in this place. Lord, and bless, we pray thee, and revive them and strengthen them and grant them gracious tokens, Lord, of thy continued presence. So, Lord, hear us as we pray for thy help, Lord, as we look at thy word, as we consider, Lord, what is before us. Lord, open up to us the scriptures of truth. Lord, hear our prayers, pardon our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here we now sing the second hymn. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be a sin, the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. The second hymn. Let me read you just a portion that I have given to me respecting the illness and the last visit to the hospital by this dear one. During her illness 2 years ago, the Lord wonderfully restored Mum to back to a good measure of health, for which we were all most thankful. During the last illness, Mum was dreading going into hospital. She had had an unhappy experience 2 years previous. But once again, the Lord provided her with some of the kindest and most gentle nurses it was possible to be given. Sometimes the nurses stayed with Mum when she was distressed and read the scriptures to her. One nurse in particular read Psalm 23. When I realised, I'm speaking of Anthony here, when I realised that Mum probably had just a few days to live, I wanted to read the scriptures to her, and knowing she loved the Psalms, opened the Bible in the Psalms. Reading the Psalm on the opening page, I read Psalm 116. I believe that it was the most suitable chapter that I could have read to Mum throughout the whole Bible. Now in the 116th Psalm we read, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Those such souls that are the subjects of God's mercy and grace are indeed the subjects of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is often said by ministers, I suppose, and perhaps many that know a spiritual religion, that Jesus Christ is made precious. And I looked at the first epistle of Peter in chapter 2, "Unto you therefore which believe he is precious." And believers in Jesus Christ will be able to speak of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. But here we have the opposite. And that is that they are precious in his eyes. All his people are precious. They have been called by grace, brought under the sound of the truth, and not only in the natural sense of the word, but in a spiritual sense, they were brought under the sound of the truth within them. And I've often said this, you know, when you read about the preciousness of Jesus, you must always remember that his people are precious, abundantly precious. He watches over them from the moment they are born to the moment they die. Supplies their every need and maintains their lot, but especially precious in the way of salvation. And whether they be in the world and off the world and far from the truth, or whether they've been brought up under the sound of the truth, he watches over them every moment and every time, and is an appointed time when they shall be the subjects of his grace and mercy. And surely it was so with this dear lady, subject of his grace and mercy. Let me read you something else of this account. The early part of this year, in January 2011. She had not been to chapel, by the way, for about 12 years, we reckon, because of her afflictions and increasing years. But we do a tape service at Zora, Norwich, and we tape the sermons that are preached. Well, on one of those sermons that she was listening to, this comment was made: "I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be." And that's the evidence of grace. That's the fruit of grace. That's the outward and inward evidence of the grace and mercy of God. Now, this is her words: "That set me thinking about my beginning." Because the children of God graciously have a beginning. As they have a natural life, bless God, they have a spiritual life, but there's a beginning. And this is her words then: "I often used to look at my sisters and wonder why I was different from them. I could see that I wasn't like them, and it puzzled me a lot. Well, I was different, and it was a good thing I was concerned about it, as it set me on the right thinking." And she begins this: "The real beginning was when I went to stay with my sister. And it was reckoned to be about the mid-1960s. She used to have a cupboard with Gospel Standards in." Gospel Standards is the denominational magazine. "And she used to have a cupboard with Gospel Standards in the bedroom that I used, and I used to read them. And I read a part of a sermon, by a man that they called Rabbi Duncan. His real name was John Duncan, and he was a preacher from the Church of Scotland. But they called him Rabbi because he was a missionary to the Jews in Hungary. And so it was a label, I suppose, that fitted his missionary work. He was described, I no doubt, by the Jews as a rabbi. But anyway, I'll read on. And I got on so well with it, it helped me a bit, this sermon. I think it was that he preached before a communion sermon, a service. But it wasn't finished, so I looked through the pack to find the next standard so I could finish it. But it wasn't there. I was so disappointed that I thought, how can I finish reading the rest of it? Well, a book of this man's sermons was advertised. I seem to remember it was called In the Pulpit and the Communion Table. So I was sent away for it and found the sermon in it, was able to read the rest. It was a real help, that sermon." And she says this: "I'm a very poor thing and I can't talk." What she meant was that she can't talk about spiritual things very much. And I'm sure that you would understand that, some of you, that cannot talk about spiritual things. Well, that set me thinking about something else. What is it that, amongst the many things which you might say were open evidences of a gracious person, and such a person who has got a spiritual religion, who believes in and trusts in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you might say, coming up to God's house every Sunday and every weeknight. Or you might say, reading your Bible and praying, knowing the hymns and so on. Now, this perhaps may seem rather strange to you, but I want to read a word that comes from Matthew 26. The circumstance in Matthew 26 was the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken brought to trial in the judgment hall before he was crucified. I'll come to what I'm going to say in a moment. And all his disciples, those 11 believers in Jesus, I all forsook him and fled. But there was one that followed. Ten forsook him. There was one that followed closely. When they came to this knowledge of this man, Peter his name is, he denied all knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a disciple, he was a believer. One or two places in the Gospels we should read, and in his own epistle we've just read, the evidences of the grace of God with him. But you see, he was asked the question, was he one of those who was with Jesus? You could, I suppose, consider what it must be to be accused of being one with Jesus when Jesus Christ was about to be crucified. Would that be the lot of such that would own up as being one of the followers and believers in Jesus Christ? Well, we find this word, and it's a strange word, but I believe it's right to put it in a right understanding. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Bewrayeth means, of course, betrayeth thee. His speech was like one of the Galileans. That's where he was brought up, around the Sea of Galilee. But as an apostle or a believer in Jesus Christ, surely you'd have another speech. And that's a spiritual speech. And the children and people of God have a spiritual language, a spiritual voice. And they speak of the things of God. I don't mean that they speak in different languages than you and I, but they speak of different things. And they speak of the preciousness of Jesus. And they speak of those things which, through his word and by his spirit, they have received and believed. Surely thy speech, or for thy speech, betrayeth thee. And I thought about this dear lady, when she wrote, when it was copied down what she said, I'm a very poor thing and I can't talk. But I know she could talk, and you know she could talk. You that know her, and indeed are acquainted, or was acquainted with her. She was to speak about the things of God. Well, in these sad times of her affliction, the very point that I was reading to you, or the part I was reading to you about the real beginning, that's what she calls it. The real beginning. She speaks to someone in the family and said this, he, that is Jesus, he did say, all manner of sins shall be forgiven thee. All manner. I have been comforted by that in past times. Oh, but now he's gone. It was as though she felt forsaken. Now, that is not the language of a person who doesn't believe in or follow after or know anything about Jesus Christ in a saving way. Oh, she might say to you, she might have said to you, well, I can't talk about these things. I'm hesitant, and so on. And I find too, as I was reading down these words that were given to me concerning the dear lady, there was many things that she was able to speak about. If you look in the Word of God, you know there's many an illustration of spiritual speaking. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it is written there, never man spake like this man. And that was, of course, accorded to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, you'll find an account of what's described as the publican and the Pharisee. Two men went to the temple to pray. One of them was the Pharisee, was full of his own self-righteousness, and he told God what he'd been doing and those good things that he had done. Oh, but it wasn't as bad, he said, as other men were. That's one conversation. Wasn't a very gracious conversation. Wasn't very godly. Wasn't very humble. It was a conversation of a Pharisee. But there was another man there who was a publican. He was a sinner. And we read about him that he could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's the language of grace. And that's the language of this dear soul of which we are speaking about this day. Great mercy, you know, if you come to know the language of the people of God, thy speech betrayeth thee. And that such souls that speak like this, or is described as we have tried to put before you, are evidences of a spiritual life within them, and a spiritual complaint and a spiritual desire. This dear one therefore had a spiritual knowledge of herself and a spiritual desire after Jesus Christ. Amongst this writing is these words: yet she had a thirst and hunger after spiritual things, and loved reading about the experiences of the Lord's people, and how in particular the Lord has supplied all their needs. So it went on to that part that we read earlier on about the Psalms that we have read today, Psalm 23 and Psalm 116. Who would you say was her best friends? Would you say that they were those who went to chapel? Would you say about those who are near and dear to them, near and dear to her, who are here this day? Two of Mum's best friends were a Bible and a hymn book, because they were spiritual things. And she learnt from it, and she respected the word of God, and it taught her things. So that the love that she had to the word of God and to love to the blessed, gracious God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is this sacred truth about her, you know, that she is well, she's gone to be with Christ, which is far better. Perhaps the most comforted words, I'm repeating what's written here, the most comforted words I heard her say just before going into hospital was the following: my soul shall soon be landed on yonder shores of bliss. That's not the language of anybody. That's the language of a person who is a believer in Jesus, who hopes upon the mercy. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, as we said just now, to suffer and to bleed and die and to rise from the dead. But he suffered for sins, for his people's sins, though that they should have this provision made through his sufferings, through his death, through his resurrection, of a place in glory. We have all that is natural, all that is human here, but all that is spiritual and all that is sacred and eternal is with Christ, which is far better. Oh, I keep thinking about those words. I can't talk. Can't talk. It's not for me to talk about these spiritual things. I'm such a poor thing. But then you see, that's the language of the people of God. That's the witness of the grace of God. The grace of God, which is God's gift to those who are sinners, that grace will keep them humble and keep the dependent. When you read in the Bible about the children of God, you read in the Psalms about the poverty that he speaks about. It's not necessarily the poverty, of course, of daily things, but of spiritual things. It's one of the evidences of desire and need that you possess, or you feel to possess, so little of those things which are gracious. There is a word somewhere in the Bible, and I can't remember where it is, but it says this, and it concerns, in the 34th Psalm, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Well, if this dear soul could tell you of the poverty of her speech, or the poverty of her experience, or the poverty of her spiritual possessions. She comes into the description of that word I was thinking about just now. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now we come back to this text. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is it precious? One more redeemed soul home to glory. Can you ever, you can't, I say this without let or hindrance, you can't describe what glory is. It would be one thing to say, well, glory, heaven, as we can understand it, is where Jesus is. But let me remind you too, as we remind of the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ to her soul and to all believers. In that well-known chapter concerning these were the last, amongst the last words of the Lord Jesus, he said this: I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I've often said, and I know it's just a simple way of putting it, but I've often said this, you know, if you want to describe heaven, it's in those words, that where I am, there you may be also. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because their pathway in life is concluded, their afflictions are finished, all their sorrows and all those tribulative ways in which their pathway is made up is indeed finished and done with. And she knows no more of sin or Satan. She knows no more of trouble or trial, no more of pain or affliction. That's all gone. And there is a word, and it may be remembered. It's in the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So there's no more tears, no more sorrow. There's plenty of reasons for sorrow here. But there's no reason, no purpose. Sorrow is not known in glory. Where Jesus is, there can't be sorrow. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They are precious to him. He sent his son to die in their place, room, and stead. He sent his son to redeem them from all their iniquity and all their sin. He sent his son to prepare them for glory. How precious is the Lord's people. And how precious Jesus Christ is to his people. Oh, you know, God has given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus. And that precious name we shall sing about we have sung about, will reflect the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. And when he raises, and he does raise up in the hope, in the soul, the hope for glory at last, then there's that anticipation of being there. There was a time, you know, when she was disappointed. She was disappointed because she hasn't gone home to glory. She was very afflicted on one occasion, she was restored in a measure. And she was so disappointed. She said, I never thought I should get in this predicament. She was spared to them, spared to you, the family, spared to those near and dear to her. But she had thought that she was going home to heaven. But she was restored for a season. Well, there's not much more that one can say about this blessing of grace and of mercy. There's a word that I want to leave with you. In the second book of Kings, chapter 4, is this word. It's a word that those who read their Bibles will remember and immediately remember. There is a woman in this fourth chapter of the second of Kings that she was blessed with a child. Her and her husband were without children, and one thing, she was so gracious a woman. She was very kind to the servant of God, Elisha, looked after him, provided for him, and for a blessing to her, for a kindness, God gave her a son. And that son died. That son was restored. But in the meantime, she went and found this prophet to tell him. The word that I want to leave with you is this. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she said, it is well. The loss of a loved one is still well. If you read your Bible and look at Job 23, the book of Job speaks about the troubles that Job came into. He lost all his family, ten members of his family, wasn't it? All in a moment of time. He lost all his possessions, all in a moment of time. And he lost his health and strength for a season. 23rd chapter of Job says this. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Him. So, God was more precious than all those things that he had lost sight of. Could that be said of you and me? Could that be said? That he's more precious than anything and everything that we understand as blessings here on earth. Well, the dear woman answered the question, it is well. Amen. Shall we now sing the closing hymn? The third hymn in the hymn sheet. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. The third hymn on the sheet.
Thank you.
for the benediction, please. Oh, that it might be, Lord, that each of us here may come to that time when we shall need that fountain. And when that blessed fountain is known to be washed from all our sins, Lord, pardon what has been said amiss this afternoon, but own and bless thine own word. Be with us each, help one, Lord, to continue at the cemetery now. Be his strength and his help. Lead him into the truth and help him. Lord, support us and help these dear relations, Lord, that are here before thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.